That's right, fans of AFL Fantasy Football. It's time for the People's Prince, the father of fantasy, and everybody's favorite humble genius, Jock Riddles. Over to you, Jock.
G'day, community. How you going? Thanks for tuning in to the Community Night Podcast, where we all hit the airwaves with our opinions before another huge week of AFL fantasy footy. How you been going? Getting a bit bloody colder, but that's all right because we're right in the guts of footy season. Round 12's just on the horizon and teams are in. When it all comes out of the wash, the big ones I can see are Corey Enright's back in, Andrew Walker's in for Carlton, Cyril's back in, Will Langford's out. That's big because a stack of us still have Kane and Son back there in the defence, so there's plenty of chins being scratched out there this weekend. Jake Need from Port Adelaide, let's be honest, he's played with our plums all season. He's gone. New boy Rory Lobb comes in for GWS Giants. Brady Gray, new boy for Frio. And our old blood-nutted friend Gary Rowan comes back in for the Sydney Swans. Dane Swan, thank Christ, comes back in. And the first footballer named after the top of a broom, Timmy Broomhead, comes back in, hopefully to sweep us off our feet as we come into the middle of the season. Plenty of wisdom coming in. Let's get stuck right in, eh?
G'day, Jock. Stoney here. The teams have just been announced, and I've had a look at them, and I've seen that Will Langford's been dropped. Now, since it is wisdom night, I'm just going to drop a bit of wisdom here. I've seen that Pierce off of my team, Hanley, is sitting at 424,000 in the back line there. Will Langford has been dropped, and he's 327,000, which means it's less than 100,000 to upgrade Will Langford to Pierce off Hanley. I'm thinking this is a great trade, and I think I'll be doing it this week. I think the community should also all be doing this, because this is a great trade. Pierce off Hanley's at his lowest price he's going to get. He came out with a 98 last week, and I think he's on the way up. So jump on Pierce off Hanley this week, Jock. Love the podcast, mate.
Good on you, Stoney. Great to hear from you. I think that's your debut on Community Night, mate. It's good to hear from you. And here you are on Twitter. Just sent a bit of wisdom. Super Coach on the couch. You're with Stoney, and it's bloody good to hear from you, mate. Any mate of Super Coach is a mate of mine. And I have to agree with you on Pierce off Hanley. And critical component of this game is buy low, sell high. Will Langford, anyway, you look at him, was about right. You know, his break even would have been lowish if he played. But we made enough money off him now to cull him. And there's no doubt in my mind that he's definitely not someone you want to take to the end of the season. So he's out. I think it's time to go. Pierce Hanley, the beauty of him is he did his hammy. That's not beautiful. Not beautiful for a footballer at all. But what we saw around the time he did his hammy, he had 35 when he first came up with the injury. Came back at a 66, then got a good break and he's now worked back into form. So we've had a beautiful price drop off him. I mean, I was keen on him at the beginning of the season. He was up over 500 grand. So must agree with you, mate. Pierce Hanley is cherry ripe if you don't have him this week. And some of the others you might want to look at. Nick Melcheski. He's in the top half dozen best performed defenders this season. He's only about 510 grand. His break even's what? What is it? 65 odd. Huge 144 against Geelong, and he's in form. You'd go with that 510 with a very good feeling that you're getting one of the best defenders of the season and a very strong Sydney outfit. Cade Simpson's averaged 134 in his last three. Just a touch under 600k, and as I said with Higo and Crouching on the Sunday podcast, I think he's just a bit too heavy in the old bloody wallet now to think about. Real smoky, I know, you know, copped a bit for this, but Jake Carlisle, don't forget Jake Carlisle from Essendon, he's only 265k-ish. He's just had the move, though, last week down back, so he came out with a 91. For those who are really struggling with the old purse, Jake Carlisle could be just something to temporarily get you across the line. Make you some cash if you still need to generate some cash before upgrading again later on. Really up there one. But, you know, sometimes it's not the player that walks a well-beaten path that gets the thing done. It's a player that wants to look hard for some real value.
G'day, Jock. Just wondering if it's time to move on young Tommy Langdon to, say, Jimmy Bartel or David Swallow, who I haven't jumped on the start of the year, but is proving a very good upgrade option. Do you reckon I should trade him now or keep Tommy Langdon? Cheers, mate.
Yeah, no doubts about Bartell or Swallow. I mean, they're boys I think you have to get down back. Swallow's proven himself to be a performer. He's going to be in the top handful of defenders, and we all know what Jimmy bloody Bartell can do, especially when he goes into boost mode with the old long sleeve as the Jew hits the ground. So no doubts there. Just wonder about Langdon and whether you give him another chance. Remember, he's got that beautiful mid-defence edgel ability, which comes in very handy this time of year. The other thing is, I was concerned the week before last that the Fasolo boy was taking a lot of his pill because Fasolo drifted down across half-back, but we saw Fasolo move up forward last week. Langdon came back with an 88, but it just made me think maybe you just hold off, just see if Langdon still consolidates that half-back lucrative role again. So it might be one, especially, you know, if you're like most of us, mate, trades are starting to go thin, and while Langdon's a good chance to give you a decent output down back, I tend to think you might just hold off on him, mate.
Jock, Luke again here, mate. Ended up pulling the trigger on both Matthew Wright and Polek last week for Shenton and Kanye Mitchelson. Turned out to be a good trade. If I had kept Matty Wright and Polek, then they would have lost me lots of money, whereas I got plenty of cash from these other guys. Now this week, mate, I've only got 10 trades left. I need to upgrade the likes of Ambrose, Zach Merritt, got Sammy Lloyd, Charlie Cameron. But these guys are all still making money. So do I pull the trigger on them now and bring in the likes of Lance Franklin, Tex Walker, Craig Bird? Bird is the word. Or do I save my trades? You were concerned about my trades last week. Now I'm two less. What are your thoughts? Also, mate, Lukey Hodge, what's doing? Two terrible scores. He's sitting there in my midfield. Do I pull the trigger on him? Your wisdom would be muchly appreciated. Thank you, Jock, and the community.
Good on you, Loiki. Great, isn't it good to hear? A bloke just enthusiastic about his fantasy footy. Not going half-assed. Not just dabbling his bloody toe in the water. He's enthusiastic. He's bloody excited. He's happy with his trades. And Lukey, it's great to hear from someone with so much bloody enthusiasm. Couple of ingredients for success, gentlemen and ladies. Absolute dogged enthusiasm and persistence will get you everywhere in this world. And you've got tons of it, Lukey. Say good on you, mate. However, you know, come to the however, my friend. I do have some concerns about your team. It's time to stop trading, mate. You just got to take the old chill pill, as the cool kids say these days. And I reckon you need to back off the trades a bit. You got concerns about Lukey Hodge. You got Kanye Mitchell stuffed in there now. You know he's named on the bench, and gee, he could be a real sub prospect. I reckon you really have to hold off a bit, and we might need to just bring in an old mate to remind us about something very, very important.
It was really important we didn't overexcite on the arousal curve.
Ross is right, mate. You can't overexcite on the arousal curve. I don't know how old you are, mate, but it's the same when, you know, with your lady friends. You get too excited on the arousal curve, she's all over, mate. Couple of minutes, including the old clothes. Sorry, Dale's, that's all she's got. You can't overexcite, mate. I think you got to hold your trades. Calm down a bit and just make sure you got some in the tank for the rest of the season, mate.
G'day, Jock Lekdog here. Wednesday night, you just posted on the Facebook page about potential value picks to bring in this week. I suggested Rory Sloane, who's only dropped below 100 once, and that was against Carlton the other week. He's a little bit cheaper than he was at the start of the season, about 22 grand. Had a little bit of a dip from his price last week and has a very good run home against Brisbane, Richmond, North Melbourne and St Kilda in his last four games. And then there was another suggestion of Barlow by someone else on the page who's dropped below 100 twice with an 88 and 82, but other than that, all his scores have been over 100, at least 112. He's got a tougher run home, and normally Freo players I stay away from because Rossi likes to rest them. But I was just looking, he's got Geelong, Hawthorn, Brisbane and Port Adelaide, and I think Ross will want to play good sides against those teams, with the exception maybe of Brisbane. So I think they're all just about locks for Barlow, and I think he'll end up averaging just a tad higher than Rory Sloane, and currently is a bit cheaper. So I think Barlow is the pick for the week. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, bloody majestic as always, Lekdog. And thanks for another beautiful piece of wisdom. That's exactly what we want, mate. And again, mate, you're right down the line there, Barlow. And again, we want to buy low, sell high. And Barlow's about as low as he bloody goes, is Barlow. Very low. Interesting thoughts as well about Frio's run home. And I suppose you're right. You know, last year, they were top four. They were in the gun. They'd done the hard work. Last round, they could have a rest. This year, things are likely to be different. They'll be just scrapping for every win they can towards the end. So maybe Ross Lyon won't play with our plums. But this is what Ross does. You know, this is what Ross Lyon will do. Lull you into the false sense of security and then, ha! Stuff yous all! That's what he does. But I see your point of view, backed up by logic. Barlow's your tip of the week. Mate, I wouldn't argue with you.
G'day, Jock. How you going, mate? Loving your podcast this year. It's top notch. Now, Jock, all us boys out there are new in full Primo teams, but it's worth having a look at Craig Bird, DPP player from the Sydney Football Club, to fill in as our F5 or S6. Bird, last three games, has got tons. Everyone's been talking about Franklin, but there's no talk about Bird. Is it worth having a look at Bird, or is he too much of a risk? Or should we just go for a Dale House or Parker at the same price? Thanks, Jock. Would absolutely love your input.
And I love your input as well, son. You're wonderful. You really are. And I suppose a good thing about Craig Bird is the emergence of his scoring capacity. He's right up 120-130 last couple of weeks. Comes with the emergence of Sydney's capacities. Comes with the emergence of the Buddy and Tippett and Goods dynamic as well. So part of you thinks, well, there's a new dynamic down at Sydney and this is doing very bloody well for Craig Bird and he's just paradigmed. He's absolutely paradigmed. There's a one thing. The other thing is now he's up around 480k. You said yourself, you know, you could go your Dalhouse and you've got other provens up there. I do believe there is a little bit of unprovenness about Bird. It would be a point of difference. Not a bloke I'd look at getting in. However, I do believe as a point of difference, and if you really have a look at his analytics and believe that what he's done in the last couple of weeks he'll do for the rest of the season because of what's happened, go for it, mate. Back yourself in. Personally, I think there's too much doubt there. There's too much uncertainty about whether he'll keep that up for the rest of the season, but that's just me. Now, I want to flick over onto the Twitter. I put up the Twitter message before. If you're not on the Twitter, @Jock_Reynolds, get on Twitter. I bloody love it, especially when there's a footy game on and you subscribe to the game and see what all your mates and all the people are talking about. It's actually a lot of bloody fun. And put up a tweet asking for people's tips. Here we go, Nicholas Morelli saying, Libba's playing Brisbane with no tag, no good ruckman should get every clearance. Good boy, Nicholas. And yeah, if you've got the coin, Nicholas, maybe. I reckon he could be a bit expensive. There could be a bit more value now. You know, when you're looking at your Barlows and even your Griffins and that. But mate, roll gold premium, you can't go too far wrong. Remy Brown with a smoky. Gus Litherland, named on the halfback. I agree, Remy. He's rookie-like for Hawthorn back there. He had, what, round 227, round 39, then a big spell, came back for a 42, then 115 on the weekend. He's a defender. He's only 165 grand, and, you know, with Langford on the horizon as well. Got James Hawkins saying Sean Higgins. Good on you, James, you cheeky bastard. I'll come out here and officially say that I might be the bloody father of fantasy. And, you know, some people say I'm the greatest fantasy footballer to ever grace the land of Australia. But granted, Sean Higgins was a good trade-in this week. Now let's move on. Remy Brown again. Adam Goods. I agree with you, Remy. Now, Adam Goods, the best thing about him, as we discussed on Sunday, he's got a couple of games under his belt. They cannot man up everyone on that Sydney forward line, so they've got Buddy to handle. Now they've got the big bastard Tippett. Goods, yeah, he's long in the tooth. He's getting older, but he can do what he bloody likes. Cheap as bloody chips as well. What is he? Can you look up Adam Goods? Yeah, good on you, son. What is he?
346,000, mate.
Yeah, he's 346,000 for Adam Goods. He just got a ton. I agree, mate. 346, especially this year when we need to just take your value and just extract the absolute bloody marrow out of it. Remy's on bloody good form up here on Twitter. Tommy Grozgevics, Stephen Martin's coming in for Brisbane. I'm not sure, you know, what his capacities will be like, but, you know, have a look at him. Jaden O'Callaghan, Goddard, still looking great value at 532. Average of 118. Take out the injury game and he's a better option than Barlow. Jaden O'Callaghan, very nice. And Goddard, overlooked him this year, of course, because he's only midfield eligible. He doesn't have that defence for that reason, people have got a bit of a black spot for Brendan Goddard. And I do agree, at $532,000, that is good value there. Matty McMahon, Kieran Jack, hasn't gone below 110 since round four, and not one person in the top 100 owes him. A great point of difference before 600 grand. Beautiful analytics. Freddie Riordan here. Callan Ward's averaging 124 if you don't include his 92, where he got injured at halftime in his 48 against the Bulldog. Quite a session in the hashtag. We'll get into a few more of those later. Dodgy FC here. Michael Bloody Barlow, because his name is Michael Bloody Barlow. I love it, Dodgy. I bloody love it, son.
McRae or Franklin?
Thank you, Michael. That was very short, but the hidden layers and tapestries of meaning were not lost on me, son. Lecrae, I think people are getting a little bit carried away on here. He's only, we know what his injury run's like. We know we're getting towards the mid to the end of the season. He's had 118, had a break, then 134, dropped to, what, 20 grand this season. He's not a bloke that I'd be too happy slotting in there and, you know, delivering him a message to take me home. So Lecrae I wouldn't think about. Now, Buddy, who I got rid of. Early in the season, I'd had enough and I pissed him off when I was doing a few correctives. Mickey, that mad Irishman in the Tight Ass Tuesday article. If you want to read an in-depth analysis of where we're at with Lance Franklin, there he is. It's a bloody beautiful push. And I'll come right down to his final word. Mad Mick, of course, came, 18th overall in Supercoach last year. I know I don't have to say this anymore, but yes, he too will have a few terrible rounds from here on out. All key position forwards do. However, if he's going to be averaging 18 disposals a game, he'll only need to hit the scoreboard a couple of times for him to ton up. Then there'll be games when he kicks a bag and watch him bang out big 130-plus games. The fact he's playing with his confidence again and taking marks, I don't think he was capable of doing this. It's telling me a really big score is not that far away. So Mickey the Mad Irishman's pretty keen on Buddy. So the question is, Lecrae or Buddy? It's Buddy hands down for me, mate. However, I won't be looking to bring in Buddy this week.
G'day, boys. My question is regarding a Sam Lloyd. Where is he? Why isn't he in the disgusting Richmond Tigers side? And why was he dropped in the first place? He was one of their best players, and he is a small forward that could solve some of their problems and make me some goddamn cash.
You like it, mate. Bloody frustrating, isn't it? Bad news is, last week in the Magoos, he was rubbish. Just when he needed to pull his finger out and say, "Hoi, Demmer, you bastard, you miserable wretch. You dropped me when I was in good form. I've got fantasy footballers relying on me for cash in a year where cash is bloody hard to come by. You dropped me. I'm going to shove it up your ass this week and get 87 disposals in the twos." Sam Lloyd was rubbish last week. That's the bad news. So he's not pushing for selection. Very difficult, of course, to give advice on Lloyd without the full spectrum of knowing what your team's doing and how many trades you got left and what your priorities are. If you can, I'd still hold him, because as soon as he comes back, there's still cash to be made and he could be a boy you leapfrog up later on. But if it looks like it's him you need to upgrade to bring in someone this week in the forward line, you got plenty of trades in the kick, I'd move the kid on, mate.
G'day, guys. Just want to start by talking about Sam Lloyd, who hasn't been named again this week. Is it time to offload him or not? Not sure where to go to next. He was meant to be my last position in my forward line, but I've had to sub in Ambrose at the moment. We had a nice score of 72 last week, but I'm not sure if he can keep that up every week. The other person I want to talk about is Taylor Walker. I'd really like to bring him in. I think he's cherry ripe at the moment, but in doing so, I'd have to trade out Sam Lloyd and Ambrose to do so with only 20k in the bank. Or should I hold on to Ambrose for now and get rid of Lloyd and, say, upgrade a Grundy, who's only averaging a bit over 60. Was the late withdrawal last week with back soreness, but I expect him to be back this week with the long break. Gives away a lot of free kicks, which really troubles his scoring a lot. The problem for me is I've only got 10 trades left, and I don't have much cash generation with the likes of Joel Tippett and Akers, those types of guys out. I appreciate any help, guys. Cheers.
Yeah, great calling, Mitch. Great to hear from you, mate. I've identified a recurring theme here in the podcast tonight, so I'd like to take you on a guided meditation. You're walking down a well-known path. made of fine pebbles. You feel the pebbles massaging the bottoms of your feet as you walk along in the spring sunshine. There's a babbling brook next to you. There's no sound, but the sound of your feet on the pebbles and the babbling of the brook. You come to a cave. Something warm about the cave, something inviting, so you walk in and you see the shadow of a man. You want to talk to the man. You approach the man and he says unto you,
"It was really important we didn't overexcite on the arousal curve."
And I think with 10 trades left, it's time to just back off on the arousal curve and just become flaccid for this state of the season. If you're up around 14 trades, yeah, I'd be comfortable with you trying something, but it's 10 trades, it's time to put a lid on it for a week or two. However, I do believe the way you're thinking about the trades shows some great analytical. And you're thinking the right way about your trades, I just think you need to back off on your arousal curve attach. Taylor Walker as well. We know Mickey the Mad Irishman's keen on him from Tight Ass Tuesday as well. Or just a bit wary. You know, we've only seen one good output, and what you see from players coming back often is when they get a bit excited early, they'll come up and about before a little bit of a lull. So I know it's difficult because jump on him this week and you do get a good price rise out of him because of his break-even, but just do it with the thought in your mind that it's a very realistic probability that he might not come out and perform. He could very well deliver us a 40 or a 40 this week. Just do it with that in mind. But I wouldn't think you were silly to bring Taylor Walker in at all. Some more form I'd love to get through. Ryan Griffin, he got Crowley'd on the weekend, so I would ignore that to a degree. His price is steady around 520 grand. Ignore his performance last week. He is a target for the tags, but I think he can work through this and improve. So don't overlook Ryan Griffin. Keep an eye out for Andrew Swallow. He's still got a huge break even. As he watches to form again, let's just watch Andrew Swallow for that point where his price dips out over the next month or so, because he's someone on the horizon. Stevie Johnson, huge, 200 plus break even now. He should drop another, 50 grand or so, couple of weeks. Stevie Johnson's a bargain. So let's have one eye on this week, and of course, one eye on 3 or 4 weeks down the track when we're looking at how our team might just unfurl over the coming weeks. Zach O'Brien from the Brisbane Lions, a rookie, in the guts, 102,000. We're looking at his second game this week. I reckon, if you're looking for some cash in the guts this week, if you're looking for Jared Polak, who's only averaged 65 in his last three with a big break even, even if you wanted to go Jared Polak this week, jump on to Zach O'Brien this week, make yourself a shitload of cash, and I reckon Zach O'Brien could be in for a little bit of job security as well. Jumping over on the Twitter, let's have a look at a few more. The Super Coach Professor. Barlow, an easy run for now. Low point spread, very consistent point scorer. Keegan McClyhone. Pierce Hanley, a great POD and a DPP. Great synchronyms there. POD, DPP. Tommy is chucking the VC on Libba this week. Year of the Mar. G'day, Shannon. Good to see from you, mate. He's thinking about Travis Cloak. Call me unoriginal, but I've overthought it. Yes for 163. No for shit form. Yes again, as he can't average 67 for the rest of the year equals Cloak. So Shannon Maher, year of the Maher on Twitter's going for Travo Cloak. Good on you, mate. Roll the dice and back yourself in. That's all you can do. And Red and Blue 26, which is Dilpots on there. Christian Salem, because he's got good job security and he's set to go up 20 grand this week. And not much has been talked about with Salem. He's played 5 games, but he's still around 195 grand with a negative break even. Coming off a 91, and I do agree on his job security. I think he came out of his skin. He got a good solid game last week. He's in a Melbourne club who's blooding kids, just like Zachy O'Brien. So I agree with you, mate. Christian Salem looks some real value.
G'day, Jock. Matty Boyd, I've had him for a while now. Hasn't pulled up the last 2 weeks. Do I hold him for one more week with Louis Taylor on the bench still to cover him? Or do I get rid of him now, mate? Cheers.
Yeah, no worries, Jack. I reckon it's the time of the season now where you back your premium in when you bought him in. You've got to back him in for the rest of the season. You want to concentrate on building your structures, deciding who's your premiums in, come thick or thin or love or war or sadness or tears. Your premiums are your premiums and you're sticking with them now. You know, I don't care if he dips in price and comes back in. He's going to be there for the rest of the season. Count him as your premium and just concentrate on upgrading someone else, I reckon, old son.
Hi, Jock. Hugh here. Love your work on the podcast. Just want to get your view on the possible trade this week. Matthew Pavlich, he's been a bit uninspiring this season. He hasn't done much on the arousal curve. And with only two scores over 100, is it time to give Pavlich the flick and put in the likes of the Texan Walker? Or is Pavlich's best yet to come for the season? Let me know your thoughts. Thank you.
No worries, Hugh, old mate. Same boat as Boyd, mate. Matty Pavlich, come love or sickness or health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in good times and in bad. I think he's a premium now. You've bought him in as a premium. Cross off that slot. Don't get rid of him. As soon as you piss him off, bring Walker in. Walker will get 20 and Pavlich will get 312. So I reckon you hang on to him, mate.
G'day, Jock. Here go, crouching one. It's Dan. I'm in the toilet. Listen, guys, I really need your help. I'm sitting on top of my league ladder, 8 wins and 1 loss. But my missus has booked us to walk the Inca Trail in August when the Supercoach finals are on. We're going to see Lake Titicaca and Machu Picchu. So my dilemma's obvious, Jock. I really need to know who can I get to walk the Inca Trail with my wife in August, so I can stay home and do the Supercoach finals. Thanks, fellas.
Jesus, that's a tough one, mate. Good to hear you've got your priorities right. You know, when the Incas were making their trails, I don't think their intention was to take people away from fantasy football, mate. Look, if anyone's out there and they can help Dan out, if you want to shoot me a message on the Twitter or something, let's try and get someone over to the Incas with Dan's missus. That's about all I've got time with. Thanks for singing out, everyone. Your messages on the Twitter, on the Facebook. I might put the questions out there on a Thursday. So if you've got some wisdoms, you can't record your voice. Really want to get the wisdoms. I love hearing, you know, the Jessies and the Lekdogs of these worlds delivering advice, stepping up to the plate. That's what gets the old bastard's blood boiling. If you haven't had a look, Tuesday now, we put up some stats with break evens and rolling averages and stuff, and it's a good filter sort of thing that we put up there. So make sure you get stuck into that. Podcast this weekend will be Monday night, Queen's birthday. We are trying to get in touch with the Queen, who, of course, has joined us in our previous Two Queens birthday podcast. We cannot confirm whether she will be in attendance with Phil this week, but we'll clarify that with you over the weekend towards Monday. Have a wonderful long weekend. Make sure you're safe. If you go out on the roads, don't go drinking piss and getting in your car. You might think it's fun at the time till someone's spine pops out of their back. So please look after yourselves. See you on the website. Keep yourself real. And I'm Jock Reynolds.
Jock, here go, crouching one. It's Dan. I'm in the toilet.